This is Serious Blues. I'm Pat St. John, and here I am next to the piano, and behind the piano is the one and only Johnny Johnson. Johnny, welcome to Serious.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It is great to have you here, and I'll tell you what, from just to explain, because people, of course, over the last many years have been learning who Johnny Johnson is, but I'll tell you what, this is an incredible thing, because from giving Chuck Berry his start in 1954 to 2004, where you appear on a couple of tracks on the brand new Aerosmith album, I mean, you're still happening.
Yeah, well,
I have great admiration for you. There's not too many people who, you know, and that 50-year span is just part of what is Johnny Johnson.
Yeah, well, I'm doing what I love to do.
Well, you're doing what you love to do, and you know, and we have talked before, and you're too darn modest for me, you know.
you
always give me this aw shucks stuff, but you're in New York City because, for one thing, you're being honored once again, and we'll talk about some of the honors that you've received. But you're in town because you're being honored by the New School, and you are receiving one of the Beacons in Jazz Awards, which is an award for excellence presented by the New School here in New York, and this is a very prestigious honor.
Yeah, it sounds good, too.
Well, I'll tell you, you're being honored with Atlantic Records' Ahmet Erdogan, Aretha Franklin, jazz man Percy Heath,
yeah,
and Johnny Johnson. You're in pretty good company.
What can I say?
Well, you can say hey, that's pretty cool, you know. But you know, inductees into the past in this particular field have included people like Cab Calloway and just all the greats. Yeah. And you are one of the greats.
Well, I don't know what to say.
Well, there you go again. Well, Johnny, you know, your music is so great, and you played boogie woogie piano for so many years. You are known by a number of monikers, the Spirit of St. Louis. You're in the St. Louis Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
And your name is there right on the St. Louis Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
You're known as the father of rock and roll. And we'll get into that, because you were playing rock and roll before the rock and roll records were really considered rock and roll.
Right, right.
And you were, of course, probably the biggest one, right? You're a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You've been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Great feeling.
Well, it should be a great feeling, because you deserve it. And it was a long time coming. But I tell you what, I want to start off talking about Chuck Berry.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck Berry, you had a relationship with Chuck Berry, and it started when you needed somebody. You were performing as the Johnny Johnson Trio. And you were, of course, the leader of the band. And in 1954, you needed somebody to come in and fill in, and that's when you heard about this guy named Chuck Berry, right?
Well, I heard about him before, and matter of fact, I went to see him perform, because he was playing in a club right up the street from where I was playing. And usually I would get through before they band, because they started much later than we did. This was in East St. Louis, and things went 24/7 there during that time.
Yeah, you know. That was a city that never slept.
There you go. So anyway, I had his phone number and everything, and my saxophone player had a stroke, actually, what happened, and he couldn't make it now. So I called Chuck and asked him would he sit in that one night for me until I could get a replacement for Alan Bennett. That was my saxophone player.
Man. Yeah.
So he comes sit in that one night, and that one night lasted pretty close to 30 years. We stayed together.
Pretty close to 30 years.
Yeah.
That's an amazing thing. Well, you know, I want to get into this a little bit, because you never really got the credit you deserved. And I know this is, I know it's a little bit of a sensitive subject, but the thing is, when it comes to those Chuck Berry records, which are classics, which everybody loves, mm-hmm. what people don't realize is that Chuck Berry, basically, for the most part, would walk in with his, let's call it poetry, he'd walk mm-hmm. in with his words,
right?
But he didn't really write music.
No, he didn't.
So he would show you these words, and then you would come up with the melodies.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So what would happen is then what you were playing on your left hand is Chuck would kind of duplicate that on the guitar. Is that correct?
Every trip.
Every trip. So that is what gave the Chuck Berry records that unique sound. Now, both you and Chuck have very large hands.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're able to reach octaves to octaves. Mm-hmm. I know that. But because Chuck had such large hands, he was able to duplicate what you were playing on your, you know, when you were playing the piano, he was able to duplicate that, and consequently, both the piano and the guitar were kind of playing the same thing, and that's what created the distinctive sound on all those records from,
from Maybelline up to My Ding-a-Ling.
From Maybelline to My Ding-a-Ling, all right? So, but unfortunately, you didn't get credit. You didn't get writing credits.
No.
And why is that?
Well, I guess because one reason, because I didn't understand what was going on. I was just excited about playing music and traveling and whatever, and it was news, you know, it was new to me, and as long as I was playing and getting paid for it, that was, yeah, you know, that's far, that was limited with me.
So for you, it was really the purity of the fact that you were doing what you loved to do.
Right.
And you don't, and I happen to know that you don't read or write music.
No, I don't.
And because of that, you didn't realize you were writing music.
No, right.
I mean, you know, you can read Chuck Berry's words, and then in your head you've got the music, but you didn't think of yourself as a songwriter or as a composer.
Right.
So you were just doing this out of pure.
I was playing what I felt.
You were playing what you felt. And Chuck Berry, on the other hand, was
playing what I felt through his poetry.
Okay, so he was playing that, but he was, in the early 50s, and while you weren't, he was a shrewd businessman, and he knew that by having his name on there, he would get the royalties.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't really care about that.
No.
But Chuck, hello! But Johnny Johnson is the man who is equally responsible for the success of all those great Chuck Berry records that all these other bands know and love. And the Stones and the Beatles, they grew up on your music. And your name should be as popular as Chuck Berry's.
Well, it's getting there.
It's getting there. It is getting there with things like with all the great accolades you've got. I want to get to a little bit of music. Could you give me a little bit? And I know and I know you don't really play, you know, Chuck songs because you don't really sing those songs. You were the player of the songs. Could you give me a little bit of a thing that maybe School Days, just a minute of it, just instrumental on. Now, there's just a taste of the 100-some songs that the music was composed for you, that you composed, that wound up being on the Chuck Berry records, by Chuck Berry. Just terrific. And now, let's skip ahead a little bit. When Keith Richards decided to do this documentary on Chuck Berry, he wanted to find the original players, and he found you. And you're in that movie, and that's what really started the resurgence of Johnny Johnson. And that turned into an album called Johnny B. Bad. And, of course, you were Johnny B. Good, right?
Right.
Chuck, like, wrote that song for you.
That's what he said.
That was one of the really nice things he did for you.
Right.
Although the guitar, the piano was changed to a guitar, but this is the man who is Johnny B. Good. So you did this album with Keith Richards called Johnny B. Bad, and Keith had you sing this song that the two of you wrote together. And it says right on the record, written by Keith Richards and Johnny Johnson, or maybe it's the other way around. But that was the first time you ever sang a song.
Yes, it was.
And you didn't want to...
I was just badgered into that because I had no intention of singing nothing. We had come up here. I came to New York, well, New Jersey, and Keith had called me to do a recording with him. And when I got up there to do the recording, while he was getting the studio together, I was just fooling around on the piano, and Keith heard this. He said, "What are you playing?" I said, "No, I'm just fiddling around till y'all get ready to do the recording." He said, "Well, I like that. We're going to make a song out of
yeah.
that." So we kind of went, after we did the recording of, what was that, Talk Is Cheap. We got
yeah, Talk
that.
Is Cheap. Now, you were on the Talk Is Cheap album,
yeah.
and you were playing piano on I Could Have Stood You Up, but I didn't,
yeah.
on Keith's album.
Yeah.
I remember that, and you were playing a couple of other tunes.
So we got through with that, then we went into this Tang Ray thing.
Yeah.
So we got the music to it. Keith said, "Boy, that sounds good. Now you're going to sing it." I said, "You got to be kidding. I can't hardly talk, and you're talking about singing something, you know." He said, "No, you're going to sing it." He just kept on badgering me for over a half hour or so. I said, "Well, I'm going to go ahead and make some words up and sing this, and he'll let me alone." He found out I can't sing, and it backfired on me.
Yeah, and then he put it on the album, and you didn't even know he was going to put it on the album. And it's become a song that you cannot do a concert now without doing that song, correct?
Everybody screams for Tangeray.
Everybody screams for Tangeray.
They want Tangeray. They'll get Tangeray.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to do Tangeray because I know that...
it's a group song.
You prefer to do it with a group song.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I will ask you to do something where you do sing because you are a great singer. Could you do something like maybe... another one of my favorites is Good Man. Could you do that?
Good Woman.
Or Good Woman? All right, I've got the thing. That's right. If you need a good one, you got to be a good man. You know the song I'm talking about. Just do it. Don't give me a... Don't hassle me. Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Johnson on Sirius Blues. yes, 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 yes. That's great. Johnny Johnson here on Sirius Blues. I understand you were listening to the Eric Clapton show.
I was. And then from the beginning to the end.
You heard the whole 6 hours.
I heard the whole 6 hours, and I heard him talking about how he enjoyed the song We Hours and whatever.
Yeah. Well, he had a lot to say about you. When I brought up your name, he lit up.
Yeah.
And he had some nice things to say about you.
Well, I enjoyed working with him, especially the Royal Albert Hall in London.
Yeah.
Really great.
Now, maybe you can tell that story about how you found out that he wanted you for the Royal Albert Hall performances.
It was in a magazine. I don't remember exactly the name of the magazine, something like Life or something like that. He was talking about this program that he was getting together to do, and he wanted Johnny Johnson to play piano in this concert.
Yeah.
So I was the first to go on, and I stayed on stage and backed everybody else up that came on after me.
Everybody from there. I mean, there were all kinds of people there, right?
Yeah.
Buddy Guy was there, and all kinds of specialists. Reverend
Robert Craig, and quite a few.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, he was saying that the first time he met you was at I guess it was at Chuck's birthday party.
Yeah, no, at the making of the movie. Hail,
oh, okay. And but boy, he loved you. He loved you.
Yeah, we hit it all right away.
Well, and I know when I mentioned to him that you had mentioned to me that was one of the highlights was doing that concert and playing with Eric Clapton, and there were so many great musicians on there, but he wanted you. And you know, it's interesting that you have played on so many different people's records. And for instance, you played with Jimmy Rogers,
right?
John Lee Hooker,
right? Buddy Guy.
Buddy Guy.
Aerosmith.
Aerosmith, the brand new album just out called Honkin' on Bobo.
Right.
Not 2004 album. Yeah. What is Honkin' on Bobo, anyway? I don't know. But that's just out, and you sound great on that. George Thorogood.
Yeah, right.
Keith Richards, we've mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many people, and you know what? I think one of the reasons is that you're such a fine musician, but another one of the reasons is that you're such a nice guy and so easy to work with.
Well, I haven't had any complaints yet.
Yeah. I mean, I want to make it clear that I love Chuck Berry's music, and of course, half of the reason that I love Chuck Berry's music is because it's you. It's half you.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of anybody that Chuck has ever guested on. You know, nobody's ever asked him to play because he's not really that easy to work with. He is with you because you're friends. You're still, to this day, friends with him. You don't hold a grudge.
No, we worked together not really too long ago.
Well, bless you for that. I mean, that's an amazing thing because I think forgiveness and understanding or whatever.
Water under the bridge.
Water under the bridge, that's the thing. And you've been playing music all of these years. Mm-hmm. But, I think it's okay for me to say. I just never noticed Chuck ever appearing on anybody else's albums. It's funny, and when you watch that Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll, Keith's eyes are like rolling. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. But he didn't have any problems with you in that movie. When you're talking about Johnny Johnson, there is a book out, by the way, called Father of Rock and Roll.
All right.
And I think one of the reasons, and normally I guess people wouldn't, people consider, there's a lot of rock, a lot of records that are considered the first rock and roll records, but you were playing this music years before 54 or 55 when Rock Around the Clock came out, or even Rock at 88.
Mm-hmm.
You were playing this, so, the book makes a real good case for the fact that you are absolutely one of the creators of what we now know as rock and roll.
Right. That's for sure.
Well, and of course there's the old expression, the blues had a baby and it was, its name was rock and roll. What do you think about, what are your feelings on the blues? What has the blues meant to you in your life? I know it's been your life, but I mean, what would you say?
Well, actually the blues, when people hear the word blues right away, to them it's a sad feeling comes over. The blues is considered something sad.
Yeah.
But with me, the blues is just music, and it's something that you feel as you play it, and it's not a sad feeling, believe me. In some cases, there are sad blues. I mean, I can hear B.B. King sing the blues, and it's all about how he's been mistreated or something.
Right.
But to me, well, actually, it's hard to describe the blues. It can be described as a feeling. It can be described as a mood or whatever. It's hard to define the blues.
But it makes you feel good.
That's for sure.
And if you are feeling bad, it will make you
feel
good.
Yeah.
All right. So the blues is feel-good music.
I would say so.
Well, and I would agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. How about doing for me some? Oh, let me pull one out. How about Johnny's Boogie? I like that because of the title, and I like it because it boogies. could you do that for me and our serious audience? Johnson on Sirius and Johnny's Boogie. And I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that was done with only two hands. Because as I'm sitting here watching you going, man, you're playing all the way on the left and all the way on the right. Man, you are good. And you do it with such ease. Well, you've been doing it a long time, but man, you are just in prime form. You have, as a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, the award that you are getting while you're in town, the Beacons and Jazz Award, as a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I know you have. I know you had a bridge named after you, where you were born, right?
All right, West Virginia.
In West Virginia, you are also now. Are you also a professor? Are you Dr. John?
Dr. John.
Tell me about that. What degree? I mean, you were given a degree.
Honorary degree at West Virginia Fallon State College.
And you go there and you teach the kids.
Right. We talk on the subject of old musicians like Robert Johnson, Johnny Hooker, Lydon Hopkins, and the kids I keep questioning about, how did you come up with these people, and what was it for these type of musicians back in the early 20s and whatever. And it's a really interesting subject for how we were, how we had to go about things back. Places we played, we couldn't stay in hotels and stuff like that, and the way it is now and the way it was then.
Now, what you're talking about is you're talking about color now, right?
Well, segregation and color, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And thank God things have changed.
Very much so.
Because you go back that far, but yet when you're talking about Robert Johnson, he was He was way before your time.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I had to be taught about him myself.
Yeah, but still, you know, that was a guy who, of course, you know, Eric Clapton, as you heard, you know, him talking about, and his new album is all, you know, Robert Johnson stuff. Mm. But, you know, Eric finds him a very interesting, you know, case study.
Mm.
And, you know, it's kind of hard to know for sure. But yet, you, as Dr. John, by the way, I'm going to call this show that we're doing right now, Me and Mr. Johnson, okay? Just because, just on Eric's cue. This is Me and Mr. Johnson right here on Sirius. But so you're a teacher, you're a professor, you're a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, you're a master piano player, one of the best in the world, in my opinion, and you're working on a new album as well, right?
Right.
Now that's going to be called I'm Just Johnny.
Right.
And you've already laid down tracks, and you've got some special guests on there.
Yeah, we have Bonnie Raitt.
Bonnie Raitt. John Sebastian.
John Sebastian. Hornsby.
Bruce Hornsby, yes. Yeah. Bruce Hornsby's on there.
So
somebody told me you had Johnny Rivers on there, too.
Yeah, Johnny Rivers, he's on there.
And still more to come, probably. Well, we're going to be looking forward to that. You know, I just can't tell you what a great thrill it is to have you up in our studios.
Oh, it's a bit of a thrill to me. I mean, just listening to you talk is a thrill.
but you listen to Sirius.
Yeah,
back home in St. Louis, right?
Right.
What are your favorite channels? It's got to be Sirius Blues, right?
I can't think of nothing else about that.
Well, the fun thing about you know, Sirius is that, and you know, it thrills me when I'm on the air and I play a Johnny Johnson record to think, well, maybe Johnny and Francis are listening.
You can bet your bottom dollar we do be too.
Now, have you recommended this to your friends?
Well, Francis take care of that. I don't get the opportunity.
Well, Francis
she beats me to it.
Francis is a walking advertisement for Sirius for Sirius Satellite Radio. I think
yeah.
I know.
She could be a good advertiser.
Well, the thing is, you know, it's. I mean, I just don't want to blow our own horn here, but it's one of the things where if you tell a friend and turn a friend on to Sirius, they thank you for it because there's nothing else like it, right?
I don't think so, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for coming up. I want to wish you all the best. Congratulations on your latest award, the Beacons in Jazz Award. And it's a good thing that you got this award because it enabled you to stay in town and come up and visit us at Sirius. And you are always welcome here. And I want to ask you to do another song. And since I'm the host, I don't know, could I request something like Every Day I Have the Blues?
Oh, we can see what we can do with that.
See what we can do with that? Johnny Johnson on Sirius.
Every day I have the blues. Every day I have the blues. Seems like I've been in trouble. Baby, it's you I hate to lose. I'm gonna pack my suitcase and move on down the line. Gonna pack my suitcase and move on down the line. Ain't nobody worrying, ain't nobody crying. Every day. Baby, I have the blues. Seems like I'm in trouble. Baby, it's you I hate to lose. trouble. Baby, you, I hate to lose.
Ah, Johnny, thank you so much. The legend Johnny Johnson, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Johnny Johnson, and may you just keep on going, man, because you keep so active. I mean, to be on the new Aerosmith album, you're working with Levon Helm too, right?
Yeah, we're doing something together.
I know he's got a new a band he's putting together called Uncle Remus and the Hole Show, which is kind of a strange name, but he wanted you to play piano on those tracks. So that's on the way. A new Johnny Johnson album is on the way, and I hope you're always on the way.
I hope so, too.
Well, I tell you what, thank you very much for being with us on Sirius.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Sirius.
My pleasure again.
And I'll be talking to you.
All right. I'll be listening, that's for sure.
I tell you what, why don't you, we're going to go into a song here, one of your songs from a recording, but why don't you just give me just the end of something, just to wrap up this interview, Johnny Johnson on Sirius, just the end of something to kind of wrap this up.